early on. So it's a group we've got a high level of trust for. As you said, they played in some big games. I know one of the things I talked about in the media day is our D Corps has played 350 games of college hockey. Like that's good experience, and that's something you can rely on. Obviously, two of those guys with Sockerman and Kybel were letters for us, but there's other guys we're capable of doing that. So it's a group we'll rely heavily on. And you know, just like last year with the senior class we had, we expect the same result. You know, we need our seniors to be our best players, to kind of rise up and meet the challenge ahead of them, and lead us offensively, lead us in special teams, certainly lead us in the locker room. So it's a good group, and they're very capable to do it.
All righty. We're going to take a break here. It's our first of three that we'll have tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We are at the Antlers again this season. We appreciate them sponsoring this program. We've got a nice crowd on hand, and we'll be back with more of the Laker Hockey Show right after this. We've got a lot of questions. We've got 25, 30 fans with us here tonight, and they've got some good questions for us. And Damon will kind of get into those before Max Humitz walks in the door and we switch it over to talking to a player. There are some good things here. Any set line combinations or defensive pairings at this point? I would imagine you pretty much know what you want to do at least on Saturday night.
Well, we're not in midseason form like you, picking up that non-cue and getting us going there. So good job, Bill. I'm glad that you're ready. You know, we've been a little bit more patient this year with kind of going right into, you know, maybe some set lines, a little bit deep pairings. But I think with the experience of return, it's a little bit tougher to do back there because, you know, guys have such good chemistry from, you know, playing together for a couple of years back there. So, but yeah, now that we're in game week, we're pretty darn close. You know, again, I think there's a lot of probably more competition than we anticipated, you know, going into the week of the game. So there's a lot of hard choices to make. But, you know, the lineup the last 2 days, and then a couple of you were in the building there, you know, we're pretty darn close to where we'll be on Saturday evening. You know, maybe a couple guys fighting for that last spot or two, or 13th forward, 7th D, something like that. But, you know, we have a good feel. But I think we also have, again, a little bit more, you know, maybe more depth this year in some ways. Maybe not that, you know, we'll see who can have that year like Diego and you know, really pop. But depth-wise, I like where we're at. And we've got to play with some things to see who can develop some chemistry and who's going to kind of step up and replace some of that scoring that we lost.
Have there been any surprises one way or the other, either good or bad at this point, from what you've seen with personnel? And, you know, it's tough to evaluate that. You don't have that much time with them on the ice at this point.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting point, especially with our recruiting schedules. You know, for so much with the showcases going on for all these midget and junior leagues, you know, there's been at least one, sometimes two coaches gone. So all of a sudden you take, you know, one of your staff members away who can help set up a practice or organize or run a part of practice, you know, then all of a sudden you're doing that and you lose your evaluation period. So it is challenging that way. I don't think there's anything, you know, in the wrong way that anybody stood out in a real poor or negative way. I guess if there was, you probably couldn't say much about it anyway. No, guys are, I think, where we thought they, you know, would be or somewhere close. And, you know, I think every year there's some surprises of who comes in and maybe is a little bit ahead of where thought or took that big step, and I think there's some guys like that for sure. You know, I hate mentioning guys because then you always hear about what about this guy, that guy, but I think Pete Vietz looked really good this year. Yeah. Obviously, he played a good role for us last year, and you know, we'll need him to take a step and do a little bit more offensively in terms of contributions on that side of the puck. But Pete's looked good really early on. This time last year, we're kind of raving about Hampus Erickson in the summer. Hampus had before a long-term injury, so it's nice to have Hampus back and healthy. Again, his body looks good again. He's continued to lean out a little bit, so playing with a little bit more pace, so he's been good as well. Yuki Miura is another guy you know, he's stronger and heavier on pucks this year as a junior now, and so that quickness, that speed has not gone away, but he can do a little bit more in terms of puck protection and hold on to puck. So, you know, again, I think there's more than that for sure, but those are couple of guys that just give you a little bit of a glimpse of what's going on with the team.
Yeah, it's I've watched a few of the practices now. I think some of these freshmen have got some high-end skill that but they're trying to figure out systems. Where am I supposed to be? what am I supposed to do, that sort of thing. But some of these young guys look pretty good. I think we've got a good recruiting class here.
Yeah, no, early on, like I said, I think we've, done a good job assessing kind of what we were losing and what we needed. And, you know, it's so far out these days that it's not as easy to do when it was just a year or two out. But, I think they filled some real good holes and needs of what we had. And, a couple of the guys will be in line for an opportunities with real strong and big roles on the team. And then a couple of guys will have to be a little bit patient and, fight and scratch and claw to try to grow that role in terms of, game nights and things like that. But it's a good group, and I think maybe one or two of the guys that have done a good job, Dustin Manns is coming in off a real good year to the BC League, and his wall plays so good. He's so strong on pucks, even though he's only a freshman, and he's only a 19-year-old too, unlike a lot of freshmen these days, but he's really good. He comes out of the wall battles with pucks all the time. He protects it really well, so he's done a good job. Louis Bidon's got a real high skill set, a really high IQ and vision, so Louis looked really good early on in terms of some playmaking ability and high-end skill, things like that. But, they've all contributed at different times. Really the hard part is we don't have a pro schedule with four or five exhibition games, that they're all going to get a really good look in different opportunities and different roles. When you look at, say, the power play group with Kybel and Sockerman that they've been on it, Nelly comes off that group, but the other four pieces, are still there. So, you've got one spot opening up in a power play that was, up and down a little bit late in the year, but really good early on. And then I think the other group, same thing. There's three or four returners, maybe four or five returners. So there's just not a lot of opportunities. And that can be really hard for young guys. They want to come in and they think they're power play and they think they're a top six forward, things like that. And it just takes some time. You have to be patient. And in today's world, you don't always get that. And I was, watching college football this week and, a couple more guys enter the transfer portal because their role is not as big as they want it to be. And, that's a scary thing these days with that ability for guys to just kind of, try to move on and think the grass is greener somewhere else. So we've got to balance that a little bit and work with our guys, but we like the class a lot. And we think, they're going to be good from day one, but I really think, as things progress over the season and years, it's going to be a tremendous class for us.
Okay, we've got another question here, Damon, from the fans who are with us. Since you've lost a number of good goal scorers, Cuglietta and Nellis especially, do you have concerns about where the offense is going to come from, especially early in the season?
Yeah, that's the big question. And the other, you've talked about the limited hours we get. It'd be nice to be able to get out there and do a little bit more and have a better feel for where some guys can do some things in some tight areas and some skill work, things like that. But we just don't have the luxury of those hours due to the rules. So, that's the question, establishing that chemistry, who can step in, who can grow the role. Miro Muka, we didn't talk about him earlier, but Miro looks really good so far early on. He's taken a step with this game. And, watching Merrimack back, he played early on there, then it was a bit of a challenge for him to get back in. So we're going to need guys. It might be a little bit more contributions by group instead of one or two individuals that can score 25, but it's a question and it's a concern for sure. And now it doesn't change. Sitting here last October, I didn't know, nobody in this room could have told me Diego was going to score 25 and we'd be top 10 in the country in offense. I would have taken that and I would have bought you a beer or something, but we've got to figure that out a little bit. But we like it. We like the group. We don't think we hope there's not a big drop off. We don't want there to be. We're not going to change our style of play and make major changes because we feel like we lack skill or the ability to score. We think that's there. Is it there from day one? We're going to find out, but we do think we can get back to a comparable level. And I think the defense, when you look at that, they're one of the highest scoring units in the country. We're going to need contributions for them, so it's important that they come back with a growth mindset and improved a little bit there, but they'll be important to our offense as well.
Yeah, you look at a kid that you just mentioned, a guy that I was going to ask about anyway. You're talking about freshmen sometimes have to be patient. It's really tough for millennials to be patient with anything, and that's what these kids are. These are young people. They want what they want, and they want it right now, and if they don't get it here, they'll go somewhere else and get it. But I think a great example of being patient is Miro Muka. He was patient last year. He's back. He looks way better, and he's a year older and a year more experienced, and he probably worked hard on his body in the summer to get stronger, and he's going to be a player for this team.
Well, I'm not going to ask your millennial question because you'll get me in trouble with all the recruits. I'll never get another recruit if I talk badly about millennials. But
I'm not talking badly about them. I just think they're impatient.
Yeah, fair enough. And you know, but it's changed for sure. There's no question that, you know, part of it's the awareness. You know, the transfer portal is here now, the social media with guys doing things. So, you know, it's much different than it was, you know, probably even 5 years ago, certainly 10, 15 years ago. But it is important part of that process. You know, hockey's already that way with the delayed enrollment in the junior hockey. So, you know, these guys have already, you know, been out of high school 2-3 years. So it can be very challenging. And Miro is a good example. You know, it was a end of the year exit meeting. What was interesting with Miro, you know, he had questions about where he fit in with our program and where we saw him at. And, you know, we just want to stress to him that we believed in him. You know, he scored 30 some goals in a league that is not easy to score in. And there's a lot there. Just the makeup of our team has changed quite a bit. You know, had he come in 2-3 years earlier, he probably would have had a better opportunity to, you know, earn some minutes and needed that offense a little bit more. Just the makeup of our team at that point last year, we had some guys playing roles like that and had some history in college hockey already doing that. So, yeah, you know, you root for a guy like that. You root for guys that, you know, haven't had the chances that they've, you know, wanted so far, but you also have 30 guys that you're rooting for. And we try to tell those guys, you know, our job is to prepare every single one of you guys to play, to earn a role. But as soon as you walk out of the room, I'm doing the same thing for the next guy. So it makes for, you know, a really competitive environment and a healthy environment. If we didn't have the culture we had, I think there would have, you know, easily been some departures and some guys maybe ready to move on and test that portal out. But these guys really care about each other. And it's a testament to our leaders, the guys who left our new group in. Our locker room is really tight, and it's awesome to see every day how much they care about each other.
Yeah, I think Miro Mook is a great example of what it is we're talking about here, and he's going to be a good player for this team this season, his sophomore year. Now, you've got a game coming up on February 15th. There's been a lot of publicity about this over at GFL Gardens in the Canadian Sioux. You're going to take a home game and play it over there. There are probably some people who buy season tickets who don't like that idea. They don't want to go to Sioux, Ontario to watch a home game they paid for here. But there's other things involved here. Where did this idea come from? Whose brainchild is it? And why are we going over to play in Sioux, Ontario on the 15th of February?
Good question. And like you said, you hear both sides of it. And, you know, we understand that. And that was all part of those early conversations. It probably took, you know, maybe a little bit over a year when this was first kind of kicked around. So a lot of coordination, you know, with our campus community, certainly, you know, going across the GFL and the city of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. You know, and really Dr. Pateson had done this event at one of his former stops down at Sam Houston. They moved a game from campus down with the Texans in the NFL building. And, you know, everybody kind of told me it was crazy. It'd never work. And then they were selling out the lower bowl. I don't know what that seats, 80,000. I don't know what it is, but it was tremendous, you know, for their school. And I think for us, that's a big part of it. This is not just a hockey game. This is an event for Lake Superior State University. We have 2,000 alumni roughly over in Sioux, Canada. You know, we want them to be engaged and a chance for them to, you know, easily take in a game, certainly a recruiting opportunity, not only for our hockey program, but for our university with that city, you know, that size across the bridge. And in my understanding, a lot of you know the history much more than I do sitting in this room, but, you know, that used to be a big draw, not only for students, but players. And so, you know, we really wanted to make it a campus-wide initiative to, you know, celebrate our Twin Cities, but, you know, it's for some exposure for our university. So admission, student life, you know, all those things, we're really trying to make it a campus-wide initiative and really a city-wide initiative. And I don't know if anybody got to catch the press conference, but when I first heard of it, you know, when it was first kicked about, and it's year one, so we're going to see how it goes and how we can grow this event and you know, expand it and make it better and better, hopefully, because I think the goal would be a yearly event. But for me, it was Hockey Day in the Sioux, you know, partner with, and we've got some different rules we got to watch with some of the prospect, the junior and midget, things like that. But this would be a celebration of Sault Ste. Marie hockey on both sides and work with the Hounds and, you know, host a doubleheader potentially, maybe 1 year on their side, 1 year on our side. I've got a grand idea of getting an outdoor game up here someday, so I'm not sure who's listening that is with the Corps of Engineers and high up in government to get that rolling. But could you imagine a game down near the locks for our city and, you know, how amazing, especially with all the things going on with the locks in our city. So to me, it was about celebrating the history of both sides and the, you know, the remarkable history we have. When you look at the Espositos and Ron Francis and Dougie Waite and Jimmy Dowd and Rawl and on and on. Like it's unbelievable. And, you know, coming a little bit full circle with Nico Esposito-Selivanov on a roster this year. So that's, to me, what got me really excited about it. And again, year one, we're going to have to see how it goes, but I hope we can build it and, you know, really make this a day about promoting the game that, you know, so many of us love and that means so much to both of our communities.
Yeah, it's two games with Alabama-Huntsville. The Saturday game out of those two is the one that will be played at Green for Life Gardens in the Canadian Sioux. The other game will be here on Friday night, and that's going to take place in the month of February. Lots of interesting things with the schedule. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show tonight. We did get a question from the fans. Where's Matt Pocket tonight? Mark and I, we got raised eyebrows on that one. Pocket's downstate. He's a millennial. He wanted to get out of here for a while, so he left. And he'll be back certainly next week, and he'll join us here. Mark's filling in very ably here tonight. And just to let you know, too, Matt Pocket's going to do some Laker hockey this year. He's going to make a few trips. He's going to start becoming the road man for Laker hockey broadcasts on YesFM. He's not going to do them all this year, but he's going to do quite a few of them. So get ready for that as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more on the Laker hockey show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue in Sault Ste. Marie. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking Laker hockey. Max Humitz is here. He's going to join us in the last segment of the show here tonight. But right now we'll kind of move on with the head coach. And we've still got a few questions from the fans that we'll throw your way here. But I know you've got a new assistant coach. He's going to be a video man for the most part, but he's on the ice for practice every day too. When you guys are, you got Mike Guggen. Tell us a little bit about Mike, where he comes from, background him for the fans.
Yeah, Mike's actually a UP native, so it's nice for him to be back home and for us to have him. You know, he's played some junior hockey in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League and then some D3 hockey. And then he spent the last handful of years, you know, kind of starting his coaching career. Spent a couple of years with a good friend of mine, Mike Skajinski, at Lawrence University. And, you know, Mike and I grew up together, so a longtime friend. So that's kind of how that started. And then he's also time at Ohio, at Sean Hogan, working on his master's and continue his career in coaching. So done a really good job, you know, so far. And like you said, he's kind of a dual role there in some ways, but he has a chance to come on the ice with us at times. And then he'll also be a big part of our you know, post-game statistical analysis and things like that. So we're happy to have Mike aboard, and it's nice to have a guy with his, you know, past ability in coaching already. So it brings a different element that we haven't had the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've got a new athletic trainer, too. He's got a Michigan State background. That gives you a leg up with this crew, Michigan State background. Pat Sarney's coming in here, and he's done a good job so far.
Yeah, no, Pat's good too. Obviously, we had a change there with Natalie Reynolds taking a position out west there. And, you know, you go through the process and start it. You know, one of the big things with Pat was he spent time with Dave Carrier, who was my trainer as I played. And Dave's a Hall of Famer, you know, one of the best in the business, a long, long time trainer. And I know when I played, guys like Dominic Hasek would be flying in to see Dave, and they were really ahead of the curve in terms of their, you know, back in the growing strains and things like that. So we have a lot of NHL guys that would fly in and see Dave and his crew. And so when Dave saw it, you know, he called right away saying, I have the guy for you. And, you know, Pat comes stamped from the best in the business, or one of the best in the business. So it's been good. And we'll actually say congratulations to him. So, you know, you hire a trainer who's getting married in hockey season. So Pat is actually going to head home tomorrow, and he's getting married this weekend. So we'll wish Pat congratulations. And, you know, hopefully there's no next time. But if there's a next time, you better not do in hockey season. So we'll miss him. And I know he's pretty disappointed that he won't be here this weekend with us. But we're looking forward to what he brings. And he's done a good job early on with
us. A little stress on the student training staff, or we're going to move somebody else over maybe from one of the
other John sports. Teasley will cover. So we've known this since we hired him. Obviously, it was part of he was very, you know, upfront about that, knowing there'd be a conflict right away. So John Teasley will cover, and we'll be fine. We'll be in good hands.
Another question from the fans here tonight: is everybody eligible to start the season? I'm thinking maybe academically as well as athletically.
Yeah, unless somebody knows something I don't know, we're good to go. You know, again, team GPA was really strong, 3.4, and you know, there's always. you know, you have to track towards degree, and you know, after your sophomore year, so many credits in junior year. So you know, it's a pretty diligent process to make sure everybody's on the right track, especially with a lot of our guys who, you know, some guys will transfer credits in and maybe multiple schools, a lot of multiple high schools with leaving home early. But yeah, we're eligibility wise, we are all good to go.
Yeah, it sounds good. And we got Merrimack this weekend. Scott Borick returning to Sault Ste. Marie for the first time as a coach. I think he was back a few years ago when he was doing some recruiting work, and he was tournament in the Canadian Sioux. But his first time as a coach.
Yeah, well, he's going to know his way around the rink in town well. And, you know, I know he's looking forward to it. You know, I don't know how long it was. Was it 6, 8 years, something like that, he was here total?
Not that long.
Not quite that long as a head and assistant. So, but yeah, he knows it well. And obviously we played them last year, so he's going to have a good feel for, you know, our team and the way we want to play. And that'll help him a little bit. And I think it's, you know, there is an advantage, you know, going to Merrimack last year for us. I had never been there. I don't think anybody on our team or staff, you know, we had a couple Eastern kids that maybe played some youth hockey in the area growing up, but it is a little bit different. You know, you don't know where to park the bus. You don't know where to pull in, and it adds, you know, some different areas, you know, especially when you're in a big city like out there in the Lowell area and one-way streets and all that stuff. So, you know, logistically, it's nice to know where you're going, where to park the bus, what room to use, and it's just a cleaner trip where your meals are, things like that. So I'm sure he's looking forward to it, and you know, I know they had a lot of accolades, one of the top rated recruiting classes in the country. You know, they like their talent, and it's going to be an absolute battle because those kids will be hungry and desperate to kick off their college careers. And that's been a little bit of our focus this year, is making sure, you know, we don't make it an easy adjustment to college hockey for that big freshman class.
All right. It's going to be a good series this weekend, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, as Merrimack College, the Warriors, come to Sault Ste. Marie. Another question we always get asked, I get a lot of online inquiries about it, that's recruiting. I know that Zach and Mike and yourself, you've been out quite a bit already. There are showcases. It's that time of year when midget programs and junior programs want to showcase their talent. Tell us a little bit about the recruiting to this point. I see where a number of kids have committed to Lake Superior State. We can't use names because they haven't signed NLIs yet, but it looks good. It looks like we're getting some things done and planning for the future.
Yeah, no, we're excited. You know, it was a big focus of us this summer to kind of shift some things that we're doing, and you know, the way we host visits, the way we offer things like that. So we really did a deep dive into our whole process of how we identify, follow up, offer, things like that, and it's paying some early dividends there. You know, those of you who followed have seen a couple names. I don't think there's been a lot. I mean, it's still, you know, and Mike and Zach just were at a big showcase there, and as they come back, when, you know, they were watching games and Mike was sending some screenshots of, you know, 16, 20 kids committed from one league to a certain school or two. And it's just, you know, there's no way those kids can go in. So, you know, we're not interested in going down that route. We want to make sure we're, you know, doing a good job early on and through the process, and not, you know, cutting kids, pushing kids back the way it's going on a lot. So, you know, we've liked our process. We've got a couple of our top targets here early on, which we feel really good about. Now, those guys are still a couple of years down the road in a lot of these situations, but, you know, we do have a couple needs, you know, on our back end, probably most specifically, to get some replacements coming in for the loss of Sockerman and Anderson, and any other, you know, potential early losses there as well. You know, up front, we're a little bit more, you know, covered in terms of some 20-year-olds and some 19-year-olds already committed to replace Max in his class. And, you know, so we'll keep working through. We got, you know, one last showcase to get through here this upcoming weekend, and kind of reconnect after that as we're into the meat of the schedule, and you know, just be real efficient with the way we approach things, and get a couple of guys wrapped up for next year's class.
Yeah, this team has 6 seniors and 7 players who will be leaving at the end of the season. Matriculation takes care of that, so there are some positions there, but there are a lot of names already on the board up in the office there for the future too.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, on the back end, I don't, I hate to misspeak here, so I think I'm accurate, but you know, we got some young defensemen committed for 2-3 years down the road, but we do have those immediate needs, and that's been good. You know, when we talk to the kids that we're targeting for those spots, you know, these kids today, they know the list. They know, you can talk about a school, they know who's committed there and how many are committed, and you know, they're really excited about the chance they have, because we don't have that giant list, and you know, a lot of kids committed in front of them. So that's helping us in this process, but that's the big need. And, you know, we'll have to be real diligent in that, because we'll lose some key players on the back end up front with Max stepping in. You know, there's a key guy right there. We need like to find 10 more Max Humitzes. If we can do that, we'll be in a real good spot moving forward. Easy to find, eh, Max?
No doubt about that. Max is going to join us here in just a minute. We're going to let the head coach get out of here for tonight. I want to remind everybody about something coming up. We'll talk about this a lot as it approaches on Monday, the 28th of October, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Elks Lodge. They'll be having a burger bash to benefit John Bell. He's a longtime colleague with Sovereign Communications. And, of course, everybody knows John Bell. He was voice of the Sioux Indians for years when Joe Sean was coaching them. And then he was the voice of the Eagles, and he's done a lot of broadcasting here. And John has been a victim of diabetes for quite a while now. He's lost both his legs. He's in a tough way, but he's fighting hard, and he's trying to get home right now, and he definitely needs help financially to pay all the medical bills that would go with something like that. So keep that in mind from 4 to 7 p.m. on the 28th of this month. And we'll take a break, and Max Humitz will join us. Coach, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Great talking Laker hockey. Go Lakers.
All right. Damon Witten moving up. Max Humitz will move in with us. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show, our first show of the season, and we'll be here every Tuesday night throughout the season. Matt Pocket will join us again next week, and there'll be times this season when Mark will be here as well, but we've enjoyed our first show so far this season. It's flying by, and Max Humitz joining us now. He is a senior, and that right there is kind of hard to believe. A senior, it seems like you just got here yesterday.
That's flown by. It's been a quick 4 years, so I can't believe it's here, but I'm excited to get after it.
Now, last season, you scored 16 goals for this team. You were one of the real stalwarts. You had a great GLI tournament. You had a great season, really. And, you know, it's kind of hard to build on that, and yet we got to build on that this year. This is a different team. We've lost Diego and his 25 goals, and Nelly and all the points that he put up, and it's a different crew.
No, absolutely. We got some good freshmen coming in to help, obviously fill those gaps they left us with. But like guys like Hampus Erickson and Ashton Calder will be good forward to fill those gaps for sure this year.
Yeah, now right now in practices, you've been working a lot with Calder. He's a local kid, a sophomore here from Sault Ste. Marie, and I think he's going to have a great breakout year. I thought he was pretty darn good last year, especially in the second half of the season, and he only had 5 goals when all was said and done, but he had a lot of points. And one thing you like about Ashton Calder is he's pretty hard-nosed. He plays it pretty tough. He'll go in the corners, dig the puck out. He's not afraid of traffic.
No, he loves to be physical. That's his game. He's a skilled forward that likes to handle the puck, and he had 16 assists last year, so he moves the puck well. And so far, we've been on line together. We've been playing on the power play and practice together, so I think we got some good chemistry there. And playing with him last year, a couple games here and there, and I think it's a good combination for the two of us that work well together. But yeah, he's physically goes in the corners. He wins the battles when they need to be won, and he's just a good player all around.
Now, you and Colin Sackleman are captaining this team this year. I think that's great choices right there. You got Lucas Keibel to back you up a little bit, and Brendan. Let's talk a little bit about the leadership cadre of this team. You're trying to move on from the guys who held those positions last year and just build on it, are you not?
No, last year the guys that had the letters on their jerseys were great guys to follow, and we look to follow in their footsteps and hopefully do a better job than they did, even though they were fantastic. But me and Colin have a great dynamic relationship that helps this team lead every day and practice off the ice, on the ice, and then we've got good guys like Brendan McKay and Lucas Keibel to help us as well.
Yeah, I think you get a guy like Brendan McKay. He is not a big scorer. I think he had 3 goals last season, but he's a great face-off man. He wins a lot of draws, but the big thing he brings to the table is leadership off the ice as well as on. He's a good guy in the dressing room, as they say, and I think Gage Terrell played a really strong role like that last year.
Yeah, so, and those two lived together last year, so it's kind of interesting you say that they're going to kind of take each other's footsteps there. But Brennan's great guy in the locker room. He's always one to loosen up the air. He runs the music in the locker room, so he does a great job there. But other than that, though, he's going to have a great year. I can feel it. He's happy. He's excited. He's got a big role this year to fill. He'll be taking a lot of face-offs, 5-on-5 penalty kill. So he's excited, and we're excited for him. So it's a great job for him.
You guys got to be fired up right now to play this weekend, too. Practice is great, but it gets a little bit old after 3-4 weeks of it. And you got Merrimack coming in here. You made that trip last year. You played out at Merrimack. What are you looking for from them? They've got a revamped team. They've got 17 new faces in the lineup, so they're not going to be the same guys, but probably the systems will be very much the same.
Yeah, like we played them last year. We actually went there. We won both games, so we were excited about that. It's a good way to start the season, so hopefully we do the same this year. But I have a couple of buddies on that team that I played with throughout junior and are from my hometown. So just talking to them the last couple of weeks, just kind of get where they're at, and just they've got new faces that are just fighting for spots. So I feel like if we play our game, we play physical, we play fast, we play our puck potential game, we'll be fine.
Yeah, you went through a tough personal situation last year. You lost your dad midway through the season, the month of December. And I know he was a great mentor to you, as well as just somebody you really looked up to and emulated. And that had to be difficult, but you still kept your focus on what you were doing during the season.
Yeah, it was obviously tough. It was kind of a shock. We weren't expecting it as a family or anything like that. So it was tough to get through the second half with him not being there for me, but I knew he was there in spirit watching over me and helped me get through every game. Even in practice, like he sat in the same seat every game. So I always look up there, and during ups, I always look up there for him. And even though he's not there, I know he's there watching me and helping me do better every game.
Yeah, you got a pretty good hockey family too. Your grandparents make just about every game, and I'm talking home and away. They're in Mankato last year. They've been in Bemidji. I mean, they get all over the place, those people. And they're like me. They're retired. They can do that sort of thing, but they're very supportive.
They love Laker hockey. They love everything about it. They have 29 grandkids every year, so they love it. They take care of everybody. So they go everywhere pretty much besides Alaska. They've been to Bemidji, Mankato, Bowling Green. They go all the Michigan schools. I don't think they've missed a home game my entire college career, and I don't think they're planning on missing one this year.
No, they're awesome fans. I don't know how many of our fans know them, but they're incredible. They're at everything, and we've had parents and grandparents over the years like that, but it's great the support they can give the players. Now, fans always want to know about idiosyncrasies. What does Max Humitz do the same every game? Do you have any superstitions? Do you have things you have to do this way and that way every game in order to get yourself ready to play?
From the moment I wake up to the moment I step on the ice at 7 o'clock, it's the exact same thing every Friday and Saturday. It's ridiculous. Same food, same nap schedule, same on-ice routine. It's just right down to the minute pretty much. And it'd take me forever to get you through the details, but maybe some other time.
Do you walk on your hands everywhere you go?
Just for about 30 seconds after our off-ice warm-up before we go on ice for regular warm-ups.
I know. That was at Merrimack last year when I went down to interview the coach before the game. There's Max Humitz walking on his hands down the hallway. I'd never seen that before, but I figure if that's part of getting ready to play, that's pretty good.
It's just something to keep me loose. It like loosens mood in the locker room. Like I legit go right through the locker room, almost right next to the anchor on the floor, and the guys laugh at me. They love it. So it just kind of loosens the mood before we go on the ice.
Talk a little bit about some of the new guys on this team. Fans always want to know about the freshmen, and we've got some good ones, I think, this year. Right now, Ashton Calder's kind of centering you and Louis Bedone, and I think the fans are really going to like Louis Bedone and what they see out of him. He's got some skill.
He's a real skilled player, loves to have the puck on a stick. He's smart. He's smooth. He's a good skater. So playing with the two of us, I think he'll have some good success this year, and I like playing with him so far, so it'll be a good match for him.
Well, there are some other freshmen, too, who are looking really good to me. You know, we don't want to get into too many names. You want to mention one guy and not mention others. I mentioned Louis because you're playing with him on the same line. But this looks like we've got some young guys who can fit in. They might not play right away, but they'll test some people. And they make the older guys, the guys who've been around a little bit, they make them better players.
No, yeah, we got a deep roster. So there's guys fighting for spots every week, and nobody's safe in the lineup. So it's good practice because everybody's competing. Everybody's fighting for that spot. Just to mention another freshman, good Michigan native, is Dustin Mann. So
yeah,
he's a great player. He's good on faceoff. So he's another guy that we'll look forward to watching play all year.
Yeah, Dustin Manns is a young guy out of Vanderbilt, Michigan. He played out in the BC League last year. He was one of the leaders on his team, not only in points, but he was a captain, I believe, on that team. And he's wearing number 8. That's big shoes to fill right there, wearing number 8 on this team.
Yeah, and for sure, especially all the fans have seen Diego fly around the ice in that jersey, so hopefully they'll see Dustin do the same thing this year.
Yeah, you know, you look at a guy like Diego Cuglietta, and he's not a real big guy, but he scored 25 goals for us last year. Talk a little bit. I know he's gone, and there's no use worrying about that because he's playing pro now, but talk a little bit about the kind of person he was, because he kind of willed a few victories here and there.
He would do anything he could to help the guys win, whether it was just getting in somebody's face on the bench and telling them what they're doing wrong and how to fix it. But he was always there for the right reasons and had a great attitude every day. So he's going to be missed, but we got good guys to fill his shoes. And that's pretty much all I got about Diego there.
Yeah, he was a great player for us, and I think everybody knows that. Talk a little bit about how you prepare. You talked a little bit about preparation here, but how about during the off season? What sorts of things do you do during the summer to make sure you're at your best come back in September?
In the summer, I play in a summer league out in Brighton. It's called Made in Mission, Michigan Hockey League, and it's a good league. There's 6 or 7 teams, guys from junior to college, a couple East Coast AHL guys are out there. So it's a good competitive league just to keep that mentality up of playing physical and just getting out there with the guys and having fun. I do skill sessions with TPH a couple times a week throughout the entire summer. So I'm on the ice 3-4 times a week throughout the entire summer. And then off ice, I have a trainer that I go to with 6 guys that are all playing college pro level hockey now. So it's good and I enjoy it, and it prepares me every year. So every year I come back and I feel great for the year, out of in shape and all that stuff.
Yeah, it sounds good. And I think you're ready to go. I think you're going to have a good season here. Certainly hope so, because we could use about 26 out of you this year. So, you know, you want to, do you set goals like that? Do you give yourself goals that, hey, I want to do this season personally?
Yeah. So Coach Witt and the coaching staff gives us a sheet, everybody individually. You fill it out. It's got 3 personal goals, and then you got to set a couple goals to meet that big goal. So we set a couple, and I had a couple that are meet a couple points, play in every situation, just become a better leader on the ice every game.
Yeah, it sounds good. Max, thanks for being here.
All right, thanks for having me.
Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Max Humitz joining us, one of the Lakers seniors, a co-captain, and I'm sure Max is going to have a great weekend against Merrimack. We're out of time here. We're right at the top of the hour. I want to thank Mark Santangelo for helping us out here today by engineering, getting us on the air. Emily Pentecost back at the station. We had a few difficulties here, but we worked it out. And thanks to the fans, everybody, for being here. I want to mention one thing before we get out of here tonight. I want to just pay tribute to friends of mine who passed away a little over a week ago, Fred DeBono Sr. and Orrin Red Suggett. And that's two great athletes and coaches and just great guys who passed away. And I didn't want to let the show go without saying something about those two gentlemen. And that's the Laker Hockey Show, our first one of the season. We'll be back next Tuesday night and hopefully with a couple of wins behind us against Merrimack. Don't forget those games this weekend. We'll have them for you on Yes FM, 7 o'clock on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And that's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.